Hello and welcome to the Diz Dads Podcast Midweek Destinations and Diversions Show. It's the Dad Show, your hump day Disney vacation fix for Wednesday, November 30th, 2016. The Dad Show is brought to you by Kingdom Strollers. Kingdom Strollers is Orlando's premium stroller and crib rental vendor. Why pay more for less comfortable, less versatile stroller in the theme parks? Make your reservation at kingdomstrollers.com. You'll pay less for the rental, and they'll deliver the stroller of your choice to your resort and pick it up in the resort at the end of your vacation for free. Kingdom Strollers, your first choice for Orlando stroller rentals and an authorized Walt Disney World stroller vendor. At Today on the Dad Show, we're talking again with Bob Chavez, this time about his couples trip for the Wine and Dine Half Marathon at Walt Disney World. Welcome back to the show, Bob.
Hey, Aaron, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. So a couples only trip. Wow. How'd you pull that
right off? Well, it took 2 years of planning and yet still almost fell apart at the end. A couple of years ago, I was cruising the Diz boards and looked into renting DVC points. And looking at the time, like I said, 2 years ago, couldn't make it happen. About a year before the Wine and Dine is when you have to book those rooms. I found somebody willing to rent points, and I found a Mrs. willing to roll the dice on renting points, because in theory it shouldn't be an issue, but you're still not dealing with you're dealing with a private individual.
Right.
So we took a chance and it worked out well for us, and you know, no problems with that. But around about September we found out that we were going to be foster parents, which we had not been expecting at all. And so right there at the end, we were concerned that the trip was going to get canceled because the state wasn't going to allow us to leave our little guy in the care of somebody else right that quickly.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
So that aside, we were able to make it happen, just the two of us and Grandma and Grandma and Grandpa and Grandpa and Aunt and babysitter. We're all here to take care of the five kids.
Hey, you got five kids. It doesn't take a village. You are a village.
We are our own village. So exactly. But no, we were able to make that happen with a little bit of saving and a little bit of luck and a whole lot of overnight driving.
Okay. So you stuck with the Chavez plan of the drive from St. Louis to Walt Disney World. But before we jump in the car, I always like to talk a little bit about the planning stages of the trip. And every trip has some unique planning issues. You've already touched on one, which is deciding to go the DVC point rental route so that you could stay in one of those Epcot area resorts for the Wine and Dine Half Marathon. Talk to us about the rest of the planning. You also, on the one hand, your wife landed a really great deal on tickets for you all, but even that sort of presented its own challenges.
It sure did. So we're big fans of the deal. Whenever you can, we try and save money here and there because there are five of the Munchkins plus the two of us.
Right.
She found a ticket package on Travelocity, one of those either, work or one day only things. It was 5 day park hoppers with water park fun and more for the price of three. And at the time it was just like, well, we have the money, we have the room, let's do this right now, because I don't think a better offer is going to come along. And it's likely not. So we went ahead and purchased the tickets. When I went online to link the ticket that we purchased online with the confirmation so that I could do the fast pass planning, etc., it wouldn't link with the barcode that it gave. So that was my first thinking, is that my heart sinks and that we just paid all this money to Travelocity and they're gonna steal it.
Right, tickets.
Right. Not the case. They were real tickets. However, you don't get your actual ticket media until you present a photo ID at a Walt Disney World ticket booth at a theme park.
So they're pure will call tickets.
They are. So we did not have ticket media when it came time for booking fast pass reservations. So we had to wait till our first park day in order to do all of our fast passes. So we didn't get, we got enough fast passes, but we didn't get awesome fast passes, if you will.
Okay. Okay. Well, but it's good to know that even last minute you were able to get fast passes that, you know, still were usable on your trip.
Yeah, we got a test track fast pass, and a Soarin fast pass for separate days, which was surprising to say the least to get those two.
Sure.
Excuse me. And then we did also land a Toy Story Midway Mania one, probably about 4 hours before we were going to use it.
Very nice.
So. But yeah, overall worked out really well. And then the only other thing is that normally we do a lot of the character dining when we have all the kids, but since it was Food and Wine Festival and it was just the two of us, when it came to meals, we didn't make one dining reservation. We were going to do Epcot food carts and just hit up like quick serve windows. That was the plan going into it. So we didn't miss any dining reservations. We just chose not to make any.
Right, right. And look, let's be honest, with just two of you, you know, the possibility of walk-up reservations is really always there. You know, you'll find someplace. You may not find every restaurant, but, you know, give it a couple of different options, you'll find a place that can work in you know, a couple. It's harder if you're seven, but when you show up day of with two, they can usually find a way to work you in.
Sure, you might be next to the kitchen, but you'll be able to sit.
Right, right. And they'll bring you food, which is the important
part. And that's the important part for going to a restaurant. So, but all of that planning aside, I had everything ready. I had my pen and paper. We're going to go to this park on this day, this park on this day, and make sure that we're rested for the running of the race and, you know, taking it slow those days. All of that was written on my pen and paper over the course of several lunches at work while I was like, well, if I do this and this. So we were set. We were ready to go. Leaving home, the plan was to leave from home at 6 o'clock p.m. on Wednesday night and then arrive in Florida on Thursday morning, 10 o'clock-ish. Okay. Of course, we didn't leave till about 7:15, but that's bound to happen whenever you're planning to leave on a vacation. I do kind of want to touch on the drive down there. It wasn't quite as dull as most of the drives, at least at the beginning, because that was game 7 of the World Series, and we had it on the radio as we left town.
Oh.
And so the game was on ESPN radio. So the in-car game was, we're losing radio stations at various points throughout the trip.
So we're trying to re-find ESPN radio
ESPN
somewhere
in various
else.
Markets. Oh, so we had the St. Louis one until we got to Southern Illinois. And then we had to find the Southern Illinois one. And then it was, you know, Western Kentucky. And then it was Western Tennessee. Then it was the Nashville one. And so that kind of game, if you will, as we were driving down was intriguing to play.
Well, and it was a heck of a game to have that happen with too, because it was worth listening to.
It really was.
If you were lucky, maybe, you know, you hit your big dead spot during the rain delay.
Well, no, what ended up happening was the two things that were interesting about it was we stopped for gas in the middle of the eighth inning. And when we got back into the car, the game was tied 6-6. And so we're just like, so that was fun. And then the idea was that I was going to nap so that I could drive that like really boring midnight to 4 a.m. shift.
Oh, yeah. But that wasn't game, happening.
That was not happening with that game that was going on. So that midnight to 4, that was fueled by a Rockstar energy drink and Frappuccinos from Starbucks. So, now, again, it was never unsafe. You know, I was never so tired that I had to pull over or anything like that. You know, just making that clear to our listeners, we are safe when we do our overnight drives.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. But then we got to Central Florida and we just drove straight to the ESPN Wild World Sports Complex and kind of started our race weekend at that point.
Okay. So you jumped straight into, you know, you're there for Run Disney. So you headed straight to the, you know, the expo. Now I know that you're a big fan of the Run Disney special edition shoes. So were you buying shoes this trip?
Not this trip. And I'm so glad that I did because I just saw that.
That's why I was asking.
In April, I got the Mickey Mouse shoes with the black tie Mickeys. And I thought, okay, I purchased my one pair of Run Disney shoes. I don't need to buy them anymore. It's fine. And then saw this pair. So I'm pretty sure I'm going to find somebody who's going to a Run Disney event sometime in 2017 to buy me one or maybe two pair of Haunted Mansion shoes.
Yeah, for those who are not aware, they just announced, I guess earlier this week or last week, that the next sort of special edition New Balance running shoes associated with Run Disney, you know, they've been doing this now for a couple of years. They did the sort of character ones about a year ago. This time they've done attraction themed shoes, including really cool Haunted Mansion shoes.
Really cool Haunted Mansion shoes. But to go back to this particular expo.
Yes.
Whenever I go to race expos, I do running. Like that's my fitness thing to try and stay in shape. My wife's a really good cook. I have to do something. But I don't get into all of the running stuff, you know, like the blinky lights and the tech that goes into running and the sweaty bands and all this other like expo stuff. Mm-hmm. That's not for me. The gear that's involved in running is not, you know, shorts, t-shirt, shoes, run. That's me. But when I'm at the expo, I do kind of like to walk up and down the expo. This one, though, with her along, she's a big fan of letting me shop. And so we did cruise through the Run Disney collection of memorabilia, which I had not done in the past when I've been to the Run Disney expos. So we got ourselves a couple of wine and dine wine glasses and some t-shirts and things. So.
All right. So you picked up some run swag.
Yeah. Didn't want to, but it was pretty cool. also noticed that there was the KT tape booth. It's that and I always mispronounce it. It's like Kinesian tape or
the kinesiology tape.
Thank you. KT tape for short for the rest of this. That was there, and the side of my knee and hamstring had been bothering me for about a week or so, but Run Disney recently instituted this policy that it reminds me of the Ferengi rules of acquisition. Rule number one is once you have their money, you never give it back. And so there's big signs on every Run Disney webpage now that there are no refunds for any reason. You've given us your money, you run or we keep it. Or whatever, you know, you're not getting it back.
It's over. It's one time. You pay right. You don't, but it's not their problem.
Right. So given that, I was like, man, my knee really hurts. And this booth was there. And I told the gal, look, I don't know what's wrong with my leg. It's not a diagnosis. It's nothing. It hurts real bad. And she's like, well, we'll try and tape it and see what happens. And she taped it and it helped. So I bought a roll of the tape. I mean, that's why they give it away for free so that you buy it, and it worked like a charm. And that stuff stays on you for 4 or 5 days, even in the bath and whatnot. So
right. And even if you're running, I mean, that's the whole point, right? It's really sticky and it ain't going anywhere.
It is. And to the credit of the cape, I don't know if it's, 90% of the game being half mental, but it helped. My leg started hurting significantly less after putting that tape on it.
I've always been skeptical of it, but I've, you know, heard now from person after person that it made a difference for them. And who am I to say, you know, who am I the non-runner to say, you know, it's snake oil if it's working.
Right. That's why I said it's probably 50% snake oil and 50%, you know, factual, but either way.
Right.
But I kind of want to stick with the Run Disney running part because sure. It was, so the day of the race, and most people who are going to listen to this podcast kind of probably know how it works, but the races start at 5:30 in the morning. And so you have to be on a bus to go to the race start corral area by 3:00. So we set our alarm clock, we get on the bus, and we arrive at Wide World of Sports by like 3:15 or 3:20 for a race that starts running at 5:30.
Right. So you got some time where you got to hang around.
Yeah. And so we're like, well, what do we do while we're hanging around? And Lumiere was there. And so we did get our picture taken with Lumiere, because when's the last time you saw Lumiere in a theme park?
Right. Yeah. I mean, the only Lumiere character we see anymore is the living character Lumiere, who's part of the Enchanted Tales, and can't really get your picture taken with him.
Right. So, and the line just snaked back and forth and back and forth. I'm like, wow, that's a really long line. And again, the missus is standing right there and going, what else are you going to do while we're standing here? I'm like, well, you can't really argue with that kind of logic.
Yeah.
So we waited in line. We got our picture taken. And the whole time I was texting with another Diz Dad, Jason, to try and say, oh, I'm going to be here. Where are you? I'm on the bus. I'm in line for this. I'm waiting for the bathrooms. And eventually we were able to get together and get a Diz Dad picture taken. So that was kind of nice. And then I posted it right away, but then I closed my Facebook app because it had already started draining my battery on my phone. And so I didn't realize there was another Diz Dad hanging around that morning, like probably within 100 yards of us. So I felt bad because as I looked at my phone and I post, and somebody had told me your Facebook app drains your battery, and my battery is going out on my phone. So I deleted it.
Conservative about your battery anyway.
Right. But I also use my phone to kind of track my pace for my running. And normally when I finish a run, no matter how long, I still have about 60% of the battery left. No problem, but I didn't want to risk anything because it was a longer run. And up until that point, I'd been saying that I was going to run with the missus. Like, she and I would run together. But when I woke up, my leg was hurting really, really bad. So I was starting in Corral D. She was starting in Corral J. So I had a significant head start on her. She's right. Like, your corral's so bad. Your leg's hurting so bad. Just start in your corral. Maybe I'll catch you. I'm like, oh, we'll run together. We'll run together. I'm going to start in my corral because my leg's hurting pretty bad. I'm so glad I did. There was one of the most subtle yet awesome deep Disney t-shirts on one of the other runners that was in my corral. She had a corral that said, if you can read this, thank the Phoenicians. Which, for those that don't know, is a line from Spaceship Earth.
Right.
And so, like, that's, and it was, it's in the Disney font, but I'm like, that is some deep, deep Disney awesomeness right there.
Yeah.
I texted a friend, even though it was 4:00 in the morning, to show him the shirt. And he responded right away. And I was like, why are you up at 4:00 in the morning? He's like, I have a baby. That's why I'm up. Like, I can't really argue
with that.
Things
for you to look forward to when you get home.
Yes. So eventually start the race. I start with my corral. Like I said, Corral D, Corral J started a half an hour after me. And as it so happens, remember how I mentioned you don't get your picture taken with Lumiere very often, and he's real rare character?
Right.
I got my picture taken with Darkwing Duck and Launchpad McQuack during this race.
I knew you were looking forward to those too.
I had been. I was like, they're not going to be at the Star Wars races, but they might be around for this, and they were. And so I was super excited. I get in line to get my picture taken with them, and I look at my phone, and I have 10% battery left on my phone. I'm like, no. So I'm waiting in line. And I get up to where it's my turn to get my picture taken. And I hand my phone to the guy. And all of a sudden, like in the time it took my phone, or the line, it went down to 3%. Like I said, my phone battery is dying. Oh, and I didn't bring my little charger. And I'm like, well, we'll see if this works or not. And the gal in line right next to me says, hey, what's your phone number? I'm like, pardon me, madam, that's a little forward, don't you think? And she's like, I'll take your picture and text you the picture of you with Darkwing Duck. And I'm like,
oh, there you go.
There we go. So the guy took my picture, or acted like he was taking my picture, but he handed me back my phone and the screen was dead.
Right.
So I didn't know if I got it or not. And the gal got her picture taken and then texted the picture. And then when I eventually got power back, I did have a picture texted to me of me with Darkwing Duck and Launchpad McQuack.
Awesome. Now, did your picture take or not?
It did. But that didn't matter. The story is cooler.
Yeah, well, yeah. Hey, so you got two. That's cool, too.
But because of that, because I waited in line for that one, and because I had gone from lightly jogging to walking with purpose to limping as fast as I could, the missus, who started a half an hour behind me, caught up to me. And we eventually crossed the finish line of this race at the same time. Now, it's a little embarrassing because I did a marathon in January and ran it in just over 2 hours, like 2:05. And
I remember that. I was really impressed, by the way.
And she did zero training for this particular half marathon, like none. Didn't go out, didn't run, didn't train at all. And she finished in just under 3 hours. But since she started a half hour behind me, that means my time for this particular half marathon was 3 hours and 30 minutes.
So you were running only about an hour and a half. So you were running basically half of your pace.
Yeah. Well, like I said, it wasn't running by the end so much as limping along as quickly as I could. And that was part of the reason why I knew I was going to be going slow, which is why I started ahead. I had a fast time. I just couldn't keep that fast time.
Okay.
For the length of the race.
Right.
So
even with the KT tape, it's still just...
It helped. It did help, but it was not, didn't bring me back to 100%. I was obviously, based on the time, I was at 50%.
Right.
So the race ends really, really kind of mean. Because you're heading towards Spaceship Earth and you go up this overpass, like on mile 12, you're going up this overpass right. thing.
And they do the same thing for the marathon weekend. The marathon ends the same way. I always thought that was just vicious that you got people on, you know, whatever. If it's mile 12 of the half, it's got to be what, mile like
24 or 25, I was gonna say
22, I would think. 24, something like that. Yeah, of the full. And I just feel like, you know, why not just hit people over the head with a chair as they enter Epcot?
Right. So you go out there. And then the other people I felt bad for were the guests at Epcot, because this was right at that point. It's like 8:45. So like Epcot's like opening, but they have to funnel all the guests in the cones and like move people in shifts to get like the runners go this way. But then the guests go this way to get into Future World and everything. So it was real. I know Disney has a plan for it, but it just seemed like not the best day to be in Epcot first thing in the morning is all.
Yeah.
But we finished the race. Yay. Like I said, I had a goal of finishing, which I did. So I was happy about that. She was hoping to finish in under 3 hours, and we got the text alert that said, you've crossed the finish line. Well, she got the text alert. My phone was dead still. She got the text alert that says, you've crossed the finish line in 2 hours, 59 minutes, and 34 seconds. So she wanted to beat 3 hours, and she did it by 26 seconds. So awesome. They were very proud of her for that. Did the post-race, got our pictures taken, and got our water and our box of snack crackers and everything like that. Got on the bus, headed back to the resort, got cleaned up, and went to bed because we didn't have to entertain children or feed anybody or bathe the kids or take them off of grandma's hands who had been watching them the whole time. It was just the two of us. So it was just like, and we're clean and we're asleep until we wake up. So, so the whole race experience was fantastic. Aside from the bad leg, it was great. I got my picture taken with Darkwing Duck and Launchpad McQuack, and she accomplished her goal. So from that aspect, it was a fantastic weekend. That was what we were hoping for from the race part, and that's what we were able to accomplish. So it was really great.
Nice. So any other race-related issues you want to talk about before we move to, you know, theme park stuff?
For the Wine and Dine, there's a post-race party.
Oh, good point. Yes, we should talk a little bit about that.
Okay. Now, in the past, and when I signed up for this race, the Wine and Dine race took place at 10 p.m., and the post-race party lasted until 4 a.m. So you run the race, you run straight into Epcot, and you start drinking and eating right away, and it's a great time.
Right. It's the middle of the night race, basically.
Right. So this is the first year, and I don't know if it was because of the time change being that Saturday or past guest experience, they decided to do the race in the morning, like a regular half marathon that they do at the Disney properties, and then the post-race party was after Epcot closed.
Right. I think that a lot of it had to do with just how much construction was going on all around, like Hollywood Studios and Animal Kingdom and all of that, so that almost any way they routed people, they were going to have to deal with various changes of direction and, you know, directional signs and things. And I think there was just concern that in the dark, there would be too much potential for somebody to get hurt.
Yeah. And the roads we were on were definitely more back road than main road for the half. So I guess it makes sense. So the benefit of that is you get to see illuminations, because even if you didn't have a theme park ticket for the day, you could get in with your post-race party ticket as early as 8 p.m. So even though we had been in and out the theme parks all day, we went in with our tickets for the party, and we got our little wristbands for the post-race party.
Cool.
We watched illuminations, and then we left.
That was all you could take, huh?
Well, we had set up shop right near Frozen Ever After, so we could do it again because we had really liked it. But from our vantage point during Illuminations, they weren't removing non-wristband wearers from the line. And so,
because they were following that old policy that anybody who's in line when the park closes gets to stay in line until they ride what they were in line for.
And so because of that, there was a 105-minute wait at 9:30 when Illuminations was over. And that was the only thing. And we had done Food and Wine. We had done Future World. There was nothing left, quote unquote, for us that was unfinished for this particular trip, other than a second go at Frozen Ever After. And we're like, we leave tomorrow. It's already pretty late. I was limping really badly at that point. So we called it a night. And so the post-race party may have been great for some. I wouldn't know.
Bit of a fail for you. A nice view of Illuminations, but that was about it.
Right. And you know what? Again, that doesn't mean I didn't get everything I wanted to get out of Epcot. I just didn't get post-race party.
Right. Well, and you pay an extra for the post-race party, so.
Well, it was included in your race admission.
Okay.
So that we didn't, because if you didn't run, yes, you would have had to pay extra, but.
Okay, but because you both ran. You both had admission.
Yes.
Okay.
So that's good then. All right. But that was it for the race. So I'm sure some people have different or better or alternate versions of the post-race party. Mine involve walking to the resort and going to bed. So,
all right. So that kind of is the race piece in a nutshell. But you were also on a couples trip getting to experience some things without kids in tow for the first time in, you know, quite a while as a couple.
Right. Our last trip as a couple was our first anniversary. We got train tickets to Chicago for cheap. So we rode Amtrak from St. Louis to Chicago. It cost us like $25 in train tickets. So, you know, that was our last couples trip, just the two of us. So it's been a little while. But because of that, most of the vacations we've done, we've either been, you know, shoestring budget, or there's just so many of us, we've been at Art of Animation the past couple trips because we can all fit.
Right.
So what we had done this time was, as mentioned before, we rented DVC points and wound up staying at the boardwalk because it's kind of nice. And I have this thing where I don't want my brood ruining somebody else's nice vacation stay.
Too polite for your own good sometimes, Bob.
Well, they're really loud and obnoxious. And if you're loud and obnoxious at a family hotel, everybody else that's there is going, yeah, my kids are just as bad. But if you're at someplace nice, you know, I don't want the retired couple that's there for their silver anniversary or something like that listening, you know, my kids go, he hit me, he bit me. The baby's dirty diaper just fell on the floor face up. You know, like, I don't want other people having to monkey with that. But this trip was just the two of us. So, you know, we can make a studio work, and we did, and it was fantastic. One of the interesting things about the way the boardwalk is laid out is, first of all, we arrived and it was still dark out because it was like 7 a.m. And so it's all lit up. And the way the sign for the boardwalk is lit with the light bulbs. Mm-hmm. It's just fantastic. It just makes you feel like another era or another part of the country or something like that. It's awesome.
It's very much transporting.
Yes. Interestingly, and this shows how rarely I stay someplace nice. We pulled up and we emptied the car onto the valet bags. Bellhop cart thing, right?
Right.
Okay. Well, when you're at the values, you can just go to the guys and say, hey, can I borrow your cart? And they're like, yeah, sure. Here you go. Sign it out. Sign it back in.
Yeah, they're not so fond of you borrowing their carts at Boardwalk.
No. They're like, no, we got it. I'm like, I can do it. And they're like, yeah, so can we. That's what we're here for. Don't worry about it, sir. We've got this. I'm like, I don't know how to act right now because I'm... No, but they were great. They got all of our stuff. They put it in a nice, you know, locked room while we went in theme park during the day. And then when we got to our room, they brought it down and it helped us unload, and it's all well and good and awesome. We did get, and one of the things about the boardwalk that's interesting is that the lobby's on the second floor just because of how the building is constructed. And so if your room is on the first floor, you actually have to go down a level to get to your room. And we didn't have the fun balcony overlooking the parking lot. We had a patio looking at the bushes.
Right, but, the garden view.
Right. But with the benefit of that was I did happen to forget something in the car, but the lobby was so far away that I could actually just sneak out the patio door, run across the lawn like a big old, you know, well, around these parts I'd call it Hoosier, but in case anybody's from Indiana, I don't want to say that. But just sprinted across the lawn, got what I needed, and then came back to the room across the lawn through the patio instead of going all the way through the hotel.
Right.
But the other thing that's great about the boardwalk is the boardwalk. Just being on the boardwalk is another transporting event. Just like the tables and the lake and all of that is just very much more calming than a food court at an All-Star. If you will. Yeah.
It's a different atmosphere. I think it helps that it's outdoors.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not so echoey and it's not confining. I mean, there's plenty of space in the food courts in a value, but there's this sense of confinement just because you got a roof over your head.
Right. And so you don't have that. So we went in, we got our mugs for our refillable mugs. We got our coffee, and I had a granola bar in my pocket, and I was like, I can make this work for breakfast. And then when we were buying our coffee mugs, I see this breakfast waffle cone at the Boardwalk Bakery.
It's danger, a Will waffle Robinson, cone. Danger.
It's a waffle cone that's full of bacon and eggs and cheese. And so I had a waffle cone full of bacon and egg and cheese for breakfast.
And?
It was delicious. Awesome. I mean, it was everything you could hope for out of a waffle cone full of bacon, egg, and cheese.
Which, to be honest, is a fairly high bar.
You know?
Because you can expect a lot.
Yeah. No, it was really good. I was really happy with that. I took a picture of it and texted it to my son, along with a note that said, "How's math class?"
Such a nice, nice brother.
No. Sometimes I'm mean to my kids, but they deserve it. The other thing that was nice about the Boardwalk was clearly its proximity to Epcot. Just being able to walk to Epcot was awesome. If you wait for the boat, if the boat is right there at the dock and you start walking, the boat is faster. But anytime the boat wasn't right there, we always beat the boat between the launch by the time we got over to Epcot.
Oh, yeah, no question. And the farther away from Epcot you get, the greater the chance you can beat it by walking. Well, because it makes stops. And that's
right. That's
what kills it. So, you know, in your case, here at the Boardwalk, there's only, what, there's one more stop before, because it stops at Beach Club and then Epcot, right?
I think so. We didn't actually ever take the boat.
Okay. But if you're going the other way towards the studios,
you can
certainly walk it faster than you can ride the boat because the boat's going to stop several places on the way.
When we left Hollywood Studios after fireworks, the line to get to the boat was so bad that I said, oh, let's just walk on the path. And even then, we made it back before the boat.
Yep.
So, yeah, there was just no reason to wait for the boat at that point. So huge, huge fan of the Boardwalk. And then the other, I guess it's uppity, but not really, but it's something I noticed. I'll just put it like that.
Okay.
Is that the bus stop for the Boardwalk was bus stop, I think, 13 at the Magic Kingdom, which is not a far walk as far as where the bus stops are. Like when you compared to the values at like 33 and 34, so it's almost like by staying at a deluxe resort, they take care of the guests because you don't have to walk as far. Now, I would think that that's intentional, but it's just something I never noticed since I always just go to the resort that I'm at.
Right, true.
But this time I just noticed I'm not walking as far to bus stops. Why is that?
Because I'm paying three times as much per night.
that's what you get. You get 17 fewer steps
at the end of the thing. Ironically, you get 17 fewer steps to go to a bus for a trip that you're going to run.
You know what? Let's not get too. We're getting down the rabbit hole.
Skip the irony. Move on with the fun. Right.
Right. But no. So kudos to the Boardwalk. I definitely will. Well, there's so many resorts that I have stayed at, and so many that I haven't. I keep thinking, oh, I want to stay there again, but you know, you want to stay at other places too, just to try them out. But I think the Boardwalk is one that, depending on the type of vacation that you're going to do, if you're going to have an Epcot-centric vacation like this one was for us, Boardwalk is definitely the way to go. Now, having not stayed at Beach Club, Yacht Club, maybe those are better. But for me, the Boardwalk was the way to go.
Yeah, I'm a big fan. I mean, I've stayed at Beach Club. I've stayed at Boardwalk. It's hard to beat beach clubs, you know, 15 steps to the back door of Epcot.
Mm-hmm.
But from the boardwalk, it's actually more convenient to be able to walk to both Epcot and Hollywood Studios conveniently. I mean,
right.
you can walk it from Beach Club, but it's more of a trek.
And I didn't, you know, it was late, you know, we weren't tired, but it was late when we were coming from Hollywood Studios, but the line was so bad that I was just like, I'm not gonna.
Yeah. Right. It wasn't worth waiting.
No.
To stand around a lot.
So, but no, we had a great time. And as far as the resort goes,
sure.
big fan. One little, there was a, on the boardwalk though, one of the guys was out doing his vaudevillian shtick while we were there, like the swallow the swords and eat the eggs and all of that type of,
okay.
of stuff. And, I assume he was doing that because there was a big crowd around him and he was dressed in the penny hat. What is that hat called? I'm picturing not the straw hat, but like the.
Oh, the bowler?
He was dressed very vaudevillian with the garters on his arm and everything like that.
Okay. Pork pie hat?
That's it. And he go, and I'm like, oh, honey, he's doing a show. And she's like, uh-huh, keep walking. So. So they did have the Streetmosphere guys out there. I just don't get to watch them. But that's okay because it's not just my vacation. It's her vacation too. And I understand that watching a vaudevillian perform is one of the levels of hell for my missus. So,
this was an adjustment for you because this is the first Walt Disney World run Disney event you've done with your wife, right?
Right. The other one was with a friend of mine and we were just like, oh, I want to do this. Yeah, I don't. I'm like, well, I don't care. I can stand here and watch this guy without you.
Let
him go. I'll catch up with him later. I'm not going to do that when we're on our, you know, anniversary.
Exactly.
but otherwise, you know, the resort, fantastic. Highly recommend it. So the other kind of, there was the drive, the boardwalk, the run, Disney, and then the theme park part of our trip was incredibly different for the two of us on a couple trip compared to dragging three or four or children or five children and a couple of grandparents and a brother-in-law.
I bet.
So
So let's talk just kind of highlights of each of the parks then, because obviously you're going to have different highlights, you know, touring as two adults than you do with the whole brood.
So I do, and I would like to start with Hollywood Studios because it kind of has the fewest highlights right now, but the highlights it does have are... So Toy Story Mania, every time we've ever ridden that ride, one of the two of us have always been holding the baby. And so we never get an accurate score of who's better at the game because you always have the baby handicap. So in this particular time, it was me versus her, who's going to win. And she does not play video games, and she beat me at Toy Story Mania because on the ring toss one, she found a 5,000-point target that I didn't see or didn't aim at or couldn't hit. And she just went to town and beat me by like 15,000 points. So,
and the beauty of that for her is that you're not going to hear the end of that for a very long time because now you're going to go back, and the next time you go back, you're going to have, again, having, you know, somebody's holding a baby, and it'll be right. Not the same score. And
well, it doesn't count. You should have beat me. I held the baby.
Exactly.
Yes. So that was, it was nice to have that winner item take place. One of the lowlights there is that there's only four open rides at Hollywood Studios right now. Great Movie Ride, Star Tours, Toy Story Midway Mania, and the Tower of Terror. Everything else is closed, under construction, or refurbishment. Now, their shows are still going on, but as far as like a vehicle that picks you up and moves you around,
right,
there's nothing going on. And so that really makes it tough to spend all day at Hollywood Studios, which would have made it hard if we had the kids there. But since it was just the two of us, we knew that the Star Wars fireworks were going to start, and there was no reason that we had to like entertain while we waited for the fireworks. All we had to do was sit on the ground and wait for the fireworks. We didn't have to.
And the ability to decide, you know what? We're just going to sit and hang out in a lounge here for an hour and a half. One of my favorite things about adult-only trips.
So it was, the fireworks started at 8. It was 6:45. And I'm like, I don't really want to go somewhere else or look at something else, but I want a good spot for fireworks. And there's nobody here right now, so we can set up our own good spot for fireworks if we just sit down right here in the middle of this promenade and let people walk around us. And we asked 4 different cast members if that was okay. And they were all like, yeah, that's fine. So
if you really want to.
And if you want to sit around for an hour, that's fine with us. And so we did. And we talked to a couple of them, and people were pin trading around us and, you know, things like that. I accidentally upset a guy in front of me, and I tried to apologize because I think he read sarcasm where I was being honest. He shows up, and my leg had been bothering me a little bit, and he put a stroller right in front of me, but like to where I could stretch out my leg, but where nobody else would like bump my leg because he blocked what had been a walking path. So he set the stroller there. I was like, thank you for setting the stroller there. And he's like, man, I'm sorry. I don't know where else to go with it. I'm like,
No, really? I'm not being sarcastic.
And so like he turned around and like, I was just like, it's over. The moment's gone. He's just either going to forget about it, or either way, I was just like, oh, this is. So if he, whomever it was, if he's listening to this podcast, that was sincere. But I bring it up because the highlight is the Star Wars fireworks. I mean, they, for anybody that's seen them, you know what I'm talking about. But if you haven't, there's something about the Star Wars fireworks is just fantastic. They do projection on the Chinese theater along with the fireworks. And it just, they made it work really, really well.
Looks like they've added some really beautiful, really well done laser effects as well. It's not just, you know, goofy lines, right? The old school laser projection.
No, they added some scenes. They added some movie scenes, various character development. And then the very end, spoiler, if you want to turn down your, if you want to see it fresh or whatever, turn down your radio and come back in about 30 seconds. But they did this thing at the very, very end where they show Rey with a lightsaber and it like zooms in on the Chinese theater. And then as it reaches the top of the theater, a spotlight shines up. So it looks like there's a lightsaber shining in the sky starting at the Chinese theater roof. And it was just the way the effect worked was phenomenal. It was just, it was great.
Yeah, cool stuff.
So big, big fan of the Star Wars fireworks at Hollywood Studios. We spent a little over 2 hours at Animal Kingdom on this particular trip. We have a really good zoo in town, so we don't always feel the need to do Kilimanjaro Safari. We rode Everest, and while we were in the queue for Everest, Sarah got her magic band red, and it says, "Welcome to the queue, Sarah." And so I'm like, "Hey, that's you." And she's like, "What are you talking about?" And I'm pointing at the TV screen where it says, "Welcome, Sarah." And she's like, "Well, that's not at all creepy." I'm like, "Oh." But as we're on Expedition Everest, she also commented that Everest, we had this big thing when we were in Disneyland that our castle, like we own Walt Disney World, but we feel like that one's our park. And so she was a big fan of saying that our castle kicks their castle's butt. And so we were on Everest riding it. She's like, "Oh, this totally whoops Matterhorn up and down." So, yeah. But after we rode Everest, we kind of walked through, and then we didn't really have a lot else we wanted to do at Animal Kingdom. Pandora was clearly under construction, and, you know, we like Lion King show. We like Finding Nemo. Without the kids there to have to entertain them with something, we decided not to do those.
Yeah. Yeah. I get that. I enjoy Finding Nemo so much that I'm happy to watch that one myself. But I agree. The energy of Lion King really needs the kids there to enjoy it.
Yes. Yes. And so we finished that, and then we, so that was that park. Magic Kingdom, we did go to a couple of times, met Diz Dad Nate at Magic Kingdom for the opening show. It was kind of funny. He's sending me text, "Where are you?" I'm like, "I'm at the opening show." He's like, "Me too." And then, "Where are you at?" I'm like, "I'm in the middle." And he's like, "Me too." And so we're just like, finally he calls. And I, like, as I'm on the phone with him, I hear my own voice from somebody behind me and turn around and saw him. It's just like one of those things where he was standing right behind me, and it took me like calling and hearing my own phone ring before I knew who I was talking to. But we met him. We all made a run for Seven Dwarfs Mine Train first thing in the morning. Got to ride that, which is great. Love Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. We also rode, maybe we rode Space Mountain. We did a couple of things, so.
Right. Well, I mean, the key is really, to me, you know, what stood out and what was different about the way you experienced the park, you know, without the kids along with you.
What one of the things we were able to do that wouldn't have worked quite as well is the Muppet Show in Liberty Square.
Oh, yeah, the new show.
Yeah, we saw that. And I get the feeling like if we would have just been running through to go to Haunted Mansion or wherever, it would have been tough to wrangle them. Well, wait, come back. There's a show going on. Oh, we don't want to watch the show. We want to go. I'm like, but it's Muppets. But we love the Muppets. So pausing to stand and watch Sam Eagle lean out of a window, that's something that we're going to do. So, but that was a great, very entertaining bit about the Declaration of Independence.
Very cool.
So that one was good. The chicken waffle sandwich is back at Sleepy Hollow.
This I hear, and I'm very excited to bite into another one here in January.
They also had this pretzel wrapped hot dog. Maybe it was bratwurst. I don't know.
Oh, if it's the pretzel wrap brat, that's this. Because they used to have those at Men and Bill's, and then I thought they went away. The ones that they were at Men and Bill's in Hollywood Studios.
Oh, I know that I ordered chicken waffles and she ordered something else, and I'm pretty sure it was hot dog wrapped in bread of some kind.
Yeah.
Either way.
They used to have a couple different ones at Men and Bill's, so it's good to know that those found another home, because I always thought they were really good.
It was. I mean, I was plenty happy with my chicken waffle. It was amazing. I was plenty happy with it, but her dish was pretty tasty as well. So that was a highlight. And then I don't argue with, but I prefer Wishes. A lot of people prefer Illuminations. And whenever I was there, I think part of what got me, shut up, I'm not crying, you're crying, is that Reflections of Earth kind of gives you the belief that if we work together, people can achieve great things. Like, you know, they show people around the world, and it's inspiring. Whenever I watch Wishes, I believe in magic. And I believe that magic is real when I'm watching Wishes and listening to Jiminy Cricket. Now, I'm a big softy, so my opinion doesn't really hold a lot of water here, but That was pretty exciting to watch Wishes. Also, it was already Christmas time, even though it was only November 5th or 6th or whatever the date was we were there. But the Dapper Dans were already out wearing their Christmas garb, singing Christmas carols, and the Main Street was already decorated, big Christmas tree in Town Square. So, that was kind of a surprise that Christmas was already going, but that also meant the icicle lights were already on the castle.
Yes.
Those are pretty great.
They are pretty amazing.
Yeah.
My favorite part of those lights, by the way, is not even necessarily the lights themselves. It's the reflection in the moat.
I can see that. I understand that. That seems pretty awesome. Sorry.
Lost in reverie there, huh?
You know, it happens to the best of us, so.
All right. Well, you know, the one thing, I mean, we've talked a little bit kind of leading ourselves there with the contrasting fireworks. But talk a little bit about Epcot, because you mentioned that you were going to try and ride Frozen Ever After again, which means that you rode it a first time.
Right. Right. So I was saving Epcot for last, because that's where we did spend a lot more of our time for this trip. And part of that is the Food and Wine Festival. And part of that is when you have little ones who want to do stuff, standing at a country or even playing the H&P go from here to here to here game, that doesn't really appeal to my kids. Mm-hmm. So we don't really spend a lot of time at Epcot. We do Test Track. We do the Seas. We do one fast lap around the World Showcase. And then we leave. You know, that's what they want. So we really time our Epcot day to be a split half day. So this time, we didn't have to do that. We could enjoy Epcot.
Right.
Add to that, that it was Food and Wine Festival. And I had planned to go to Food and Wine on a Friday because somebody somewhere had said Food and Wine is bad on Saturdays or on weekends. And they weren't lying, but boy, I'll get to that in a second. So we checked into our hotel on Friday morning. Our room was not ready. We left all of our stuff with baggage. We got our tickets, our magic bands and everything. And we walked and got the waffle cone and then just walked over to the International Gateway. And we were at the International Gateway by about 8:30 in the morning. And I made her wear the 15-year anniversary button, which she was not, she did not want to wear the button, but I made her and it was fine. So we go and we get pulled for additional screening and
okay.
I empty my pockets, walk through, get back. And she goes through beep, 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 beep. She's like, I don't have any metal on me. And they're like, ma'am, you have a button. Have a happy anniversary.
Button take off the middle button of your chest.
Do it again. So that was fun. Well, they let us in at 8:45. And we walk in, we go around the back, not the American Adventure side, but the Future World side of World Showcase, and go as quickly as we can without actually running to get to Frozen Ever After. And okay. We get in line, and they were not letting people onto the attraction at that point, but people were at the doors for the attraction. So I was in line, still within the boundaries of the Norway Pavilion, but kind of almost to the walking path. Like if you can kind of judge that distance of number of people. So they opened the doors and let us into the attraction. And walking through inside the attraction, she goes, when we win the lottery, this is how we're decorating our house. it's going to look like the castles of Arendelle. That's what's going to happen, because you're walking through and it's like, it's lit so perfect. And the rock work and everything is just, you stepped into the Frozen movie. It was fantastic. Like I didn't have any strong attachment to Maelstrom, but just being in the waiting queue, it's just like, and I'm glad this ride has been repurposed because this is amazing. Like theming aside, countries aside, this is amazing. So we rode the ride, which was equally as good when, you know, Elsa's singing and she's doing icy blasts while your boat's going backwards and stuff. It was really, really, really well done. So I don't have any complaints about it at all. I thought it was wonderful.
All right.
I wanted to ride it again.
Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was going to say, and yes, I definitely wanted to ride it again, but that one, there were no fast passes available any of the days that we were there. So those were out. By the time we got out of the line at 9:01, So the park opens at 9, but they let us on early because the international gateway and let's get people going. So we were off at 9:01, and the line had already grown to, say, 45-minute wait.
Oh, wow, yeah. It's one of those ones that it's a magnet, right? As soon as people can go, they dash there.
Right, which meant when we got over to test track, it was like 3 runs before we were in customizing our car. And that's another thing. When you don't have kids, you don't have to share the customization of the car. You can make whatever outlandish vehicle you want. You're not sitting there saying, oh, we should worry about the environment. No way, man. Plasma burner, big giant tires. We want this thing to go as fast as it can.
Oh, yeah. The last car I designed, we actually set out to see what we could do to make the lowest possible environmental rating.
Right.
I think we got a 3.
Oh, so that was fun to be able to do. You know, just because you don't typically do that. And then the other thing is, I mean, it's when you're after the ride, you're in the little like Chevy showroom with and you know, sometimes you want to ask a product specialist about a vehicle that you might purchase sometime. So like the little Corvette guy was there and I was asking about the car, and the Silverado girl was there and I was asking her about the Silverado. I'm not in the market right now, but I might be someday.
Sure.
So that was nice, because whenever I tried to do that with the kids, they don't let you.
they're not so interested in hanging around while you chat.
No. And the other thing, Spaceship Earth they'll do, but a lot of the times after you finish, they have the games and stuff in the after show. And the kids play them, or there's a line or whatever. And like, I don't want to take – my kids want to play the video game, and so do I, but I'm not going to take the controls from my kids, and by the time they're done, they're not going to wait for me to play.
I was just going to say, it's hard enough for me to wait for my 2 kids to play each game. I can't imagine what it's like waiting for 5 to play a game.
Right. Well, one of them can't control the controls yet, so we haven't had that.
So that helps a little.
So I told her going into Epcot, like, look, there's this stupid surgery game where you got to build a body, and I'm playing it. She's like, if that's what you want to do, go ahead. And so the two of us were able to do the 3D glasses and do the surgery game and build Mr. Body or whatever he's called. And like, it was the dumb stuff like that, that you don't really get to do.
Sure.
And then the other thing that was great was we were able to take our time and really enjoy the experience of the Food and Wine Festival.
So talk about your favorite moments of Food and Wine, your favorite places Food and Wine, because there's so many options. And, you know, I'm always interested to hear what people kind of hone in on as their favorites.
So my first was a realization. The realization of whenever I would hear food booth on various podcasts or whatever, I never really saw a picture of them. So I'm picturing something along the lines of a church picnic where you have a tent and a barbecue smoker, you know, and like, but these are permanent temporary structures. I mean, they look, you know, worthy of, you know, they could hold up to a rainstorm and keep the employees clean and dry and allow them, you know, I mean, they were structures. It wasn't a tent. It was a structure.
Right.
So that caught me off guard. Epcot folks did this really great thing where they give you a passport that has all of the countries and what different things are being served. And they give you all these stickers, and you put the sticker where you get the food from. Now, somebody was arguing like, oh, I like the stamps better. That way you can't cheat about where you did or didn't go. I'm like, who would you be cheating? Like, if I put a Mexico sticker in my book and I didn't go to Mexico, nobody cares.
It's kind of on me, really.
But I wanted to go grab my book because, like I said, it was from the Caribbean and we had grouper. Now I'm not going to order grouper at a restaurant. It's not going to happen.
Okay, but maybe you should, because you ate it and you really liked it.
I did. That was really surprising. The other one that was not surprising, good or bad, was from Hawaii. We had the pork slider.
Oh, yeah, the Kalua pork slider.
Yeah. Even at the time, and she wasn't even around when I said it, but she makes a pulled pork with pineapple here, and she does it kind of often. Hers is better. So the other one that I had was the in China. It's on the permanent menu, not the food and wine menu, but the Tipsy Ducks in Love. It's a coffee and chocolate kind of drink with bourbon in it. And it was really tasty, but it was definitely not a sunny daytime cocktail.
Okay.
The one that they did have with the Kung Fu Punch, definitely a daytime cocktail, if you'll.
Okay. So the Tipsy Duck at night?
Dessert.
Dessert.
More of a dessert, because it had definitely chocolate, coffee, kind of a you didn't want to be hot while you were drinking it. Okay. And yeah, it didn't cool you off. But the Burberry beef from the Africa Outpost, that was really, really good. Real spicy. So heads up on that.
It's nice that you can still find things with real spice too, that, you know, a lot of people feel like that in the restaurants, maybe the spice gets, you know, kind of dumbed down a bit. And it's nice that in the Food and Wine Festival booths, that tends to be less of an issue. They tend to be willing to be a little more aggressive with spices.
Right. And that's what, I mean, I would not want an entire plate of the Burberry pork from the Africa Pavilion because it was so spicy, but like the amount that you were given with the spice, it was very, very well done, mm-hmm. in my opinion.
Yeah. I mean, a few bites can punch you in the mouth.
Right. For years and years and years, I've been joking about going to the France Pavilion and getting the lemon citron slushy. And so I finally crossed that one off my list, though it wasn't part of the Food and Wine. So
during the Food and Wine Festival.
But it was during the Food and Wine Festival. My favorite drink from Food and Wine, though, was at the Scotland Pavilion. They had an In and Gun Irish Whiskey Aged Stout.
Ah, yes. A Jason Mitz classic.
I went back. That was the only drink. That was the only thing, food or wine, that I went back and got seconds on.
Wow.
That was really, really good. I liked that one a lot. And then for the Canada Pavilion, it's kind of cool and kind of cheap, if you will, that what they serve is the cheddar sheesh soup and the wild mushroom beef filet.
Yes.
That's what's in the restaurant.
Right.
Of course.
But instead of 2 table service credits, you get it for, you know, $15.
Right. And it's totally worth it. I mean, they even get you a little pretzel with your soup.
Nice.
And so overall, I really enjoyed the Food and Wine Festival. The second day we were there, we were cutting through Epcot through the International Gateway to go ride the monorail. And just get like snacks along the way. Uh-huh. And at that point, it was 6 o'clock on a Saturday night. And it felt New Year's Eve crowded.
Yeah, it gets
on the world, around the world.
Pretty crazy
showcase
there any Saturday, you know, evening, let alone Saturday evening during, you know, wine and dine time.
Oh, it was just, and there were, I start showing my age because I keep looking around and saying, why are all these kids here? Why is it legal for them to drink? but I mean, I'll talk to anybody. So there was somebody was wearing an Alabama t-shirt and I asked him if I said Roll Tide, could I stand here in order to fill out my book? And he and his friends were there and they laughed and we wound up talking for 10 minutes while they were all converging at this one table to start their evening. And yeah, they were there. And I'm like, I guess they were local because they were talking about how this is their third weekend and they made wine and dine Mickey ears and stuff. So I can't say that I wouldn't be at Wine and Dine 3 or 4 times if I were local, but I'm not. So it seemed crazy. but we both had a really, really good time. She really liked it. Was in Morocco of all places, but they had a baklava from Morocco, and it was incredibly delicious. Chocolate baklava. And yeah, that was because she kept telling me it was from Belgium. I'm like, no, it was
no, it's not.
no, it's not Belgium. No. One of the other foods were Greece. That's what it was. She thought it would be from Greece. Baklava would come from Greece. That would make sense. But it was from the it was from Morocco. So who am I to argue with Disney when it comes to telling me where food comes from?
Well, yeah, I mean, Morocco is sort of an interesting place, right? Because it's technically Africa, but it's kind of Mediterranean. It's kind of Middle Eastern. It's a little everything.
Right. Exactly. That's why Rick set up a cafe there. No, but overall, man, for anybody listening, if you can get away for 3 days at Walt Disney World with your spouse, I highly recommend it. So, right. No, but that overall, we had a great trip. We did the things at the theme park we wanted to. But you know what's funny is that as we were standing there, you know, watching Star Wars fireworks, we're like, oh, our middle son would really love these fireworks. And, you know, as we're walking around saying, oh, we should buy this for the girl because she would really like this. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's like they're not there. But you keep thinking of what you would be doing differently if they are. I mean, they're part of our lives, but it sure. was just it's kind of funny.
You can't help but bring them along at least emotionally.
Right. You know, oh, when I was going to town on that waffle cone, the reason I sent my son the picture of it is because he would have loved that waffle cone.
Right, like, right.
So, I mean, I just had to twist the knife a little bit, tell him to enjoy his day at school. But, But no, it was a good time. It was a good time. And I don't know that I have much more to add at this point about it other than seriously save your money and try to get away at some point. Maybe not this year, maybe not next year, but for a 15-year anniversary trip, it was a lot of fun.
All right. So this is when we're wrapping up, and you've done already, you know, some of your tip giving as we've been wrapping up already, particularly advising people to do it if they can.
If you can.
But I do want to, you know, ask you the all-important highlight question. So you're going to look back on this trip 5 years down the road. What's the one thing you're going to remember more than anything else about this particular trip?
Unfortunately, I think I'm going to remember being hurt because it was just constant. It was the constant throbbing pain. So I'm going to, every time I tell stories, oh, I was limping around, and I'm going to make myself seem like an idiot. But all of the cast members that said happy anniversary or congratulations while we were walking around, she did not want to wear the button. I made her wear the button. She did not want to wear the button. But yet all kinds of people are just like, oh, guys, that's so great. Congratulations. That was nice. I'll remember that she ran the half marathon. You know, that's where she did her half, which is why we went. And then probably watching Wishes. Because normally when I'm like, when I get to watch Wishes, it's half watching Wishes, half making sure the kids are watching Wishes. Mm-hmm. And this time it was just like, I was able to stand with my spouse believing in magic like Jiminy Cricket tells me to.
Okay. Well, if that works, those are all great things to be your memory triggers for this particular trip. And if there's, I guess, you know, you've given us some tips. Is there one tip that you would give somebody who thinks, I'd love to do this, but I just don't think I can, you know, any tip, any suggestion you would give them that you think might push them, you know, over the edge to just pull the trigger and do it?
The thing is, I've always been a believer of, if you're going to take the time to go all the way to Disney World, you should stay for a while. But now that I've gone on longer trips and shorter trips, if you do it right, you can, in fact, have just as much fun on a short trip as you can on a week trip, on a week-long trip, because you're committed to moving fast, you know? And so if you're committed to it, then it's like, yeah, we'll just knock out all this fun in 3 days instead of in 5 or 6, and it'll be great. So, yeah, just commit. If you're going to commit to go, commit to do everything you can to cram as much in. We watched Wishes, which ended at 11 o'clock, and then woke up at 3 in the morning to go run a half marathon. So, like, like, if you're going to go, you just got to, like, you know what? I'm going to be hurt, and I'm going to be sore, and I'm going to take a day off work when I get home just to recover. But, and I did. We got back on Monday, but I took off on Tuesday as well. So yeah, that'd be the other tip of advice. If you're going to go super fast, you know, in and out, take that extra day off of work for your recovery day.
Yeah. Especially if you're going to go and run.
And drive. Run injured and drive. Getting out of the car on the drive home was entertaining for those around us.
Oh, I can't even imagine.
So.
All right. Well, this is all great information, Bob, and it sounds like you had a great trip. Thanks so much for coming on the show and talking to us about it, and look forward to the next opportunity. Do I remember right? You're still maybe looking at other Disney destinations still down the road?
You know, we have a new child, and our oldest two were 3 years and 18 months for their first trip. Our second one was 18 months for his first trip. Our third one, I'm sorry, was 18 months for his first trip. And our fourth one was 4 months for her first trip. So, you know, we need to get the new baby to Walt Disney World probably before the end of next year just to keep up.
Got to maximize the number of those under three trips, right?
Right, because, you know, he's free right now. Of course, we have to buy a specialty vehicle to get him there, but he's free right now.
Of inspiration is at the heart of all creation, right at the start of everything that's new. One little spark lights up for you. Oh, hello there. So glad you could come along. I am the Dream Finder. Musical notes, what delightful melodies those will make. I love these flights of fancy, searching the countryside for sounds, colors, ideas, anything that sparks the imagination. A sunbeam, that's a good one. Everything that I can collect can inspire amazing and marvelous new ideas. And you never know what kind of figment you may come up with. Here's my favorite. Two tiny wings. Eyes big and yellow, horns of a steer, but a lovable fella. From head to tail, he's royal purple pigment. And there, voila, you've got a figment of imagination.